Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome to our service this evening. We look forward to the Lord's blessing and to the privilege of hearing His precious word being preached. Before we come to the reading of God's word, we're going to bow in a word of prayer and seek the Lord's blessing on our time together this evening. So let us pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we draw nigh to Thee tonight in our Saviour's precious name, that name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank Thee for the one at Thy right hand tonight. We think of our Saviour's coming into this world, born of a virgin, made under the law, that He would redeem them that are under the law. And we thank Thee tonight for His person and His work. We thank Thee that He set His face to go to Jerusalem. And there on that center cross of Calvary, He who was born and laid in a manger was nailed to a cross and laid down His life a ransom for sinners. We thank Thee tonight that Christ was buried and then on the third day rose again and now is seated at Thy right hand, a Prince and a Saviour forevermore. And Father, we come to Thee in His name tonight praying for Thy blessing upon this time together. We thank Thee for the inspired and infallible Word of the living God. We pray as we turn to this portion of Scripture now that Thou will bless it to us. Bless the Reverend Salt as he comes to minister Thy Word. Lord, we pray he might know the fullness of Thy Spirit and Thy Word being a blessing to every heart. We thank Thee for the privilege we have tonight of gathering around the Scriptures of truth. Thy Word tells us the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. And may that be the case tonight. May it make us wise unto salvation. and the enjoyment of the gospel of Jesus Christ, may we bring glory to thy great and holy name. We ask this for Jesus' sake and for his praise and honour. Amen. Micah chapter 5, commencing to read at verse 1, reading down to the end of verse 9. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. And when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious and infallible word to our hearts. Now let us sing the hymn, Jesus My Saviour, to Bethlehem Came.
Oh, wish to thank Reverend Mercer for leading the early part of the meeting. My text for this evening is found in the second verse of Micah chapter 5, where we find these words, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." The place that is distinctly referred to in this passage of Scripture was remote and of very limited significance. It had never been of national importance, and some people referred to it as an obscure village, hardly worth a mention. And the Holy Spirit records for us there that indeed, in this verse, that indeed it was little. In the list of Judean villages that are found there in Nehemiah that are given to us, this comes after the captivity, Bethlehem Ephratah is not named there. And yet we have to say tonight that being located in a very fertile part of Palestine, it is rightly called Bethlehem, meaning house of bread, and Ephratah, which means fruitful. Now, the name in itself may have been an indicator of future recognition, but I believe that few would ever have imagined that when the glory days of places like Ephesus and Alexandria and Athens and Rome, places that were noted as centres of culture, where there were seats of learning, places that were of great commercial greatness and importance, places of pomp, when their glory days were largely past, the glory of Ephratah would surpass them all. Not because of any growing industry or any importance of location, but as the Word of God shows us here, it would be because of the one who would be born there. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is He Himself who is her glory. And because of this prophecy that points forward to the incarnation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, Bethlehem Ephratah, the place that once was obscure and unimportant, is immortalized. Matthew tells us over there in his Gospel in chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Christ is the glory of Ephratah. And at the Christmas season, the minds of many are turned to this particular town or village. And I trust tonight that the minds of many too are turned to the one especially who is its glory. And tonight, I just for a few moments want to share with you some thoughts on Christ, the glory of Ephratah. I'd like you to notice, first of all, the glory of his person. In another prophecy in the Word of God, that is in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 9, and verse 6, we're told there that unto us a child is born. That is a very clear reference to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his manifestation here on earth in the flesh. But it also says there in that chapter, unto us a son is given. And that speaks to us of Christ's pre-existence. You see, Christ's eternality is brought before us in that passage, and also in our text tonight, where it says, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." The Lord Jesus Christ always existed as the third person of the Trinity. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the needy little congregation there at Colossae, and his ambition was to instill in them the fact that Christ was sufficient and all that they needed, He says there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, and he is before all things. When the Lord Jesus Christ himself was speaking, he said, he referred to the glory which I had with thee, that is God the Father, before the world was. And even in these days, men and women, this is a truth that we need to hold firm to. The truth of the deity of Christ, and that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It is something that is denied by many, but nonetheless, it is absolute truth. When we think of the glory of his person, we think of his pre-existence, but we're also reminded of his power. In Colossians chapter 1, again, when Paul was writing to that congregation speaking about Christ, he said in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, we read the words, God who created all things by Christ Jesus. But not only did he create this world, he sustains this world. And sometimes we have reason to wonder why things are not worse than they are. And yet there are other occasions when we feel that, well, maybe this world is out of control. Well, Christians, we need to remind ourselves tonight that this world is not out of control. For the apostle there in the same epistle to the Colossians says here in verse 17 of chapter 1, by him, that is, by the Lord Jesus Christ, all things consist. And the word consist there means hold together. He holds everything together. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1 spoke about Christ upholding all things by the word of his power. And take encouragement tonight that his work is going on. And the world is not out of control. And Christ this very evening is fulfilling his promise that he will build his church and the gates or the councils of hell will not prevail against it. Right across the nations tonight, men and women are being born again of God's Spirit. They are listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who is the glory of Ephrathah, and they are embracing him as Savior and Lord. But there's not only his pre-existence and his power. We think also of his purpose, because Micah the prophet here says that he would come forth unto him. Christ's ultimate aim was to bring glory to God. In John chapter 15, where Christ is referred to there as the true vine, and he has some important things to say to his disciples, he talks to them about fruit bearing. And then he goes on to say, herein is my Father glorified. In another place we find the words from God, he shall glorify me. And this evening, many hate the doctrine of the deity of Christ, the one who is the third person of the Trinity, the one who existed from all eternity. They hate the doctrine of the deity of Christ because it enforces the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ over man. And man's pride doesn't like that. He prefers to do that which is right in his own eyes. And man to this very moment rebels against the claims and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And could I ask you the question tonight? Are you still living in rebellion against him? Is your ambition to have no counselor but your own heart? Would you say tonight with many others, I will not have this man to reign over me? And maybe from your tender years, You have heard him talked about and preached about on your mother's knee and on many other occasions. And yet tonight, the glory of Ephratah means very little to you. There's not only the glory of his person, but secondly, there is the glory of his provision. During the festive season, some would fail to look beyond Christ as the babe in the manger. Some will go a little further and they will see his example, and others will go yet further and see him as sinless. But men and women tonight, we must recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to die. When Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, he said there in chapter 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law. In other words, he came to seek out the lost and to save them. And the word of God shows us that when men and women are to be redeemed, they will be redeemed by blood alone. And that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Apostle Peter, in his great sermon, when he was preaching to the great multitude who were responsible on a human level for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the very heart of his sermon, he had this to say. He said in verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You see, when God looked down the corridors of time, he saw sinful man in need of a redeemer. And if I can make it a little bit more personal, when he looked down the corridors of time, and he saw my need and yours, he sent the Lord Jesus to redeem us from our sin. When we were, the Bible tells us, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, reminding us tonight of his substitutionary work there in the cross. All of the sins that you and I were guilty of, you have come to him. They were laid on him. And we can rightly say tonight that he was delivered for our offenses. And indeed, with the hymn writer, we can identify with the words, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The glory of his provision, there is his substitution, but then there is his sacrifice. Again, if we turn to the book of Hebrews, we see there in chapter 9 and in the verse 12, it's a reference, a clear reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The Old Testament priests never sat down because their work was never finished. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he offered that once and for all sacrifice for sin, never to be repeated again. There is also the thought of his satisfaction when he sat down. The righteous indignation of a holy God towards man's sin was appeased in the death of his Son for all of those who, down through the generations of time, would come and put their faith and trust in the glory of Ephratah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians can say tonight with great assurance, he covereth our unrighteousness with his righteousness, and the wrath of God cannot find us. Have you availed tonight of this provision? Have you looked away to the Lamb of God, to his work of substitution, to his great sacrifice? And have you trusted him as your own and personal Saviour. There is the glory of His person, the glory of His provision, but there is the glory of His peace. The world and the hearts of multitudes are broken by sin. At every turn, people are striving for some kind of contentment or peace. And yet the evidence points very clearly to the fact that every avenue that is being explored is failing to deliver, or as the Isaiah the prophet put it, they're laboring for that which satisfieth not. And the Lord Jesus, in John's Gospel chapter 16, was encouraging His disciples and informing them of the Comforter that would come. He told them of the peace that He gave to them that was not of like the world's peace. In fact, the Scripture shows us that He made peace through the blood of His cross. This is a judicial peace. It means that your guilt is gone. Romans 5 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, resting upon His crosswork. It is judicial peace. It is the peace of God. The peace of God which passes all understanding. And I ask you tonight, do you know anything of this peace? What is the glory of Ephratah to you this evening? I trust this night, if you do not know Him, that you will come and embrace Him and find eternal life and all that is found in the glory of Ephratah. Let's just unite our hearts together briefly in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee tonight for the Lord Jesus, the one who left the splendor of heaven, the one who went the way of the cross that He might redeem us from the curse of the law. And Father, tonight we do thank Thee for His outstretched arms. We thank You, Lord, that even this evening He still beckons men and women and calls to them, come all to Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And Lord, we ask tonight that Thy word might have free course and be glorified, that even at this season many might turn away to the Lord Jesus and find in Him life and lasting joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.